This is Morning Edition from NHPR. I'm Rick Hanley. Granite Staters heading to the polls next week for the state primary election. There's still time, by the way, to drop off an absentee ballot with your local town or city clerk. We're talking with the gubernatorial candidates this week here on Morning Edition about their plans for the state's economy given the negative impact of the COVID-19 pandemic. And the incumbent governor, Chris Nunu, joins us on the phone now. Good morning, Governor.
Good morning. How are you, Rick?
I'm doing all right. Thank you. Governor, how have the past 5 months or so changed your priorities when it comes to managing the state's economy? How have you adapted your economic plan?
Well, obviously, I think we're in a whole different world than we were in February, right? Back in February, we had one of the lowest unemployment numbers in the country, the lowest poverty rate, some of the highest wages. Our economy was absolutely cooking, and we had to make some very tough decisions early on. And the strategy was, look, we know we were going to take the hit in the economy in the short term, but we had to play for the long game. And so we were a little extra slow and careful and cautious when we opened the economy up and we flexed things open. We wanted to do it the right way. We didn't want to be in the position that other states had put themselves in a negative way and see the numbers rise. So we had to make sure the culture of making sure that whether it's masks or social distancing or whatever it was, the guidance documents were all in place the right way, stakeholder input, working with public health. And in doing that, we really, I think, allowed ourselves not just to survive, but even some business to frankly thrive a little bit in 2020, but really be there for 2021. We put hundreds of millions of dollars, more than any other state, dollar for dollar, more than any other state, into our businesses to make sure that they can pay their bills, they can hire their employees, they can pay their taxes and utilities, whatever they need to survive. I think given that our unemployment rate is dropping now twice as fast as the national average, we're now below 6% as of today in terms of unemployment, which typically wouldn't be a good number, but relatively speaking, it's a great number. We're in a much better place now than thought we would be back in March and April.
Some 400 businesses in the state that we know of have closed down. I'm wondering if you feel the aid has been enough. Has it been targeted in the right place?
It's been more than any other state, and it's been all over the place, right? Everybody got a piece. So healthcare got lots of money. Farmers got their own fund. The Main Street Relief Fund allowed every business to come in. Anyone that was eligible got their pro rata share, right? Got their fair share. Up to a certain amount, up to about $350,000, which is a lot of money for some of the larger businesses. But it was really designed for small and mid-sized business. And there's no state in the country that put more money to self-employment, private businesses, and nonprofits. Not Texas, not California, not Florida. We're the ones that put over $500 million into those systems. Some of those states put nothing in. So we're really making sure that we're here for the long term. Go talk to counterparts, restaurants and businesses in downtown Boston. Right? Or Vermont. I mean, Vermont has done a great job with COVID, but their unemployment rate is still about 10%, and same with Maine. So, you know, we've put ourselves in a very strong position here to be successful for the long run. And the fact that we put more in than 49 other states, I think says a lot to our commitment to the economy.
I know there are different estimates, but the state is expected to face huge deficits, tens of millions of dollars. What are your plans to balance the state budget going forward?
We can do it. We can manage, and without a single new tax and a single new fee. And that's the most important part, because the worst thing you can do to families or businesses when they're down is, frankly, kick sand in their face by increasing their taxes, right? They are more important than the big government system.
How do you balance the budget then? I mean, where do you trim? Where are your priorities?
So we've gone to all the different agencies. We've given them kind of markers to hit, some 0 to 5%, some 5 to 10% in terms of reduction. We don't think we need to wholesale cut massive programs. Remember, our economy is so strong that we basically increased our spending with a balanced budget more than $500 million, close to $1 billion just in the last 2 or 3 years. So if we have to take a step back to 2019 spending levels on a few programs, we can do that, and we can manage, and we can find efficiencies. And that's why I was so adamant with the legislature when they said they were going to raise business taxes 12.5% on businesses, because those triggers were going to be hit. And the Democrats in the legislature said, no, those taxes are going up no matter what. And they said, please, just suspend them. You can't be raising taxes on businesses. They said, nope, the businesses' taxes are going up. Now, we managed. This was back in May and June. We managed. We got things open. And we made sure the revenues were where they needed to be so the tax triggers did not come into play. But that's the really difference in philosophy and strategy as we go forward. You're going to want folks in the Senate and the House and frankly, the governor's office that understand the economy, business, and balancing budgets.
Pandemic has highlighted the ongoing economic and social inequities within the state and in the country in general. What are some of the immediate steps that you take to address the economic inequality in the state?
Well, I think economic and social inequalities kind of come hand in hand. They're different, and you have to take different paths. but you rarely have one without the other. In this state, we're on a very good path, but there is definitely issues that we can address. We don't have systematic crises across the board, but that doesn't mean you don't pay attention to the individual communities or the individual programs. So couple examples. First, healthcare, right? We recognize very quickly that there was and has been a discrepancy in healthcare with minority populations. So we put our task force together. They did a great report, put some real ideas on the table. That report and those recommendations, I always kind of demand recommendations. A study is fine, but at the end of the day, you got to get results, right? So we're kind of put that report now in the hands of our the commission I created on diversity and inclusion, who have already integrated with the public sphere and out in the different communities. And they'll now kind of work forward in starting to implement some of those ideas. Some will be legislative. Some we can just do with some regulatory reform in the short term.
What's your take on the debate to divest funds from police agencies into social programs?
The idea of defunding police agencies and divesting funds away from law enforcement is a really bad idea, because this is why. It's so obvious. When if you really feel like something is broken, and again, I don't think we have a systematic breaking of law enforcement. I think you can always challenge yourself to do better, but I'm very proud of the law enforcement that we have in our state and our community. But when you have a problem with anything, you don't pull resources away from it and say, we're going to make you weaker, if you will. We're going to put less resources there and less accountability there. You put more resources to it, and you get them involved as part of the changes you want to see. And because I think this police accountability group that we put together was so positive, it had law enforcement involved, it had prosecutors involved, everybody really had a voice there. I think that the solution really is going to those law enforcement agencies and saying, okay, here's where some of the gaps are in the system. It isn't fundamentally broken, but the gaps. So here's some of the resources that we're going to invest so that, again, you get to the point where you get that more integrated policing, that community policing that we'd like to see. But you don't do it by removing funds. That sounds like a nice talking point for the radical left, but at the end of the day, it can have disastrous repercussions. You want to empower them to be part of their own solutions, working with them laterally within government, setting accountability, metrics, goals, all of those management pieces that have to be in place to ensure that you're not just talking, but you're actually getting the results that you want to see.
Governor Chris Sununu, thanks so much for the time.
You bet. Thanks, Rick.